You're listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust.
A warm welcome to this special edition of The Blind Spot podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust. I'm Darren Pascal, our technology manager, and today our episode is all about smart energy, accessible smart energy. It's very timely at the moment when we're all thinking about cost of living and how we can be maximizing value and keeping warm and also keeping our bills down. How can we do that with smart energy, and how does it make life better for blind and partially sighted people? We'll be discussing this in depth today with some wonderful guests, including Philippa Brown from Smart Energy GB, Dave Clark from RNIB. A warm welcome to the Blind Spot podcast, everybody. So, Philippa, if I may, I'm going to start with you because I'm really intrigued about smart energy, and I'm hoping that you can kind of help her to introduce this for everybody. Obviously, some of us have seen it, some of us are using it, and then there are some, funnily enough, like me, who don't really know very much about this at all. So I'm going to ask you, first of all, if I may, to tell us a little bit about what smart energy actually is, and what is a smart meter?
So Smart Energy GB, we're the not-for-profit national campaign here to tell everyone about smart meters. And smart meters essentially replace the traditional meters you have in your home for gas and electricity. And they come with an in-home display, which tells you how much you're using in pounds and pence, as well as sort of old-fashioned kilowatts. And they also tell you how much you've used in near real time, for the day, for the week, for the month, which helps with budgeting. And they have a sort of traffic light system that helps you with your, you know, levels of usage as well. So they're a small device, but I think they are hopefully going to change the way we all interact with energy. And as you said, particularly at the moment when energy is such a hot topic and people are really worried about their bills, you know, it doesn't use your house's Wi-Fi or anything like that. It's fitted by the energy suppliers. It comes with, you know, the smart meter and the in-home display. You don't need anything else in your home to use it. And also, it's just a simple device with buttons that, you know, you can press the pound button and there it will tell you how much, you know, how much you're spending and how much it's costing you. So I compared it to my dad at the beginning, to just like, you know, getting a new TV, but he reminded me that he doesn't know how to work the TV. So I think it's more like a microwave. It's the most kind of simple, easy to use tech. That just, you know, gives you that visibility, like we said, of what you're using, which is really important.
So these smart energy meters, these devices, let's say you want to get one, how much does it cost?
So there's no extra cost for you to have one installed. So just contact your energy supplier and they can arrange installation for you. But yeah, there's no charge for installation. So the cost is part of your standing charge, just like, you know, we all pay to maintain our traditional meters and get them fitted and updated. The cost is included in all of our bills, like I said, as all energy infrastructure is. And that's partly why I would encourage everyone to get one, because, you know, they're included in your bills already. And I think in terms of sort of benefits, etc., yes, you're right. We know from various studies that, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be huge changes, but all the households we've seen that participate and that have had a smart meter, just giving yourself that visibility of usage helps you make those decisions. And you know, we moved into our new house recently, and it was only through looking at my in-home display that I realized the heating was on, because they preset everything for this time of year. We'd moved in, we hadn't turned the heating on yet because obviously we're trying to watch our costs, and suddenly, you know, on the IHD I could see, oh my goodness, we've spent, you know, £5 on our energy today, what's going on? And so it's those kinds of decisions, I think, that you can make. And in any other walk of life, if you went into the, you know, to the supermarket and they said, oh, we'll send you a bill in 3 months, you'd think this is so bizarre. But, you know, in energy, we kind of accept a bit of an antiquated billing system. So yeah, I think it's, you know, I think knowledge is power in this instance, and it helps you make your own choices in the home.
Absolutely. So you've briefly touched on this already, but as I'm somebody who doesn't yet have an in-home display, can you just tell us exactly what you might actually see on the display?
So on the screen, you can choose whether you see sort of, you know, your kilowatt consumption or whether you see it in pounds and pence. And then it breaks it down to that sort of, you know, near real time, what you're using as you're using it. But then also you can look at your usage across the sort of the week, the month, etc. And I think, again, that helps you look at budgeting, etc.
Absolutely. At this point, just to clarify that when we're talking about the smart meter that you might request or have fitted and the accessible in-home display smart meter, we are talking about two different products here, aren't we?
Yes, yeah. So the smart meter essentially is your gas meter or your electricity meter. And that's, you know, those traditional meters that you had probably in the cupboard or out the front of the house, that's replacing those. And then, as you said, there's two products that replaces the meter. And then separate to that, you also get your in-home display, which is a small device, sort of the size of a sort of small tablet or a large phone, which you can plug in around the home. Most people sort of have it, you know, in the kitchen and on the side somewhere, and that is the device that tells you, you know, how much you're using, how much it's costing you, and that kind of historic usage too.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you. Dave, if I may, I'd like to bring you in at this point, because obviously RNIB has been involved right from the outset in the design of the accessible in-home display equipment. So can you tell us a little bit about exactly what the accessible in-home smart meter device is, what it does, and how it works?
Yeah, so, you know, with the change to smart meters and kind of the whole program of rolling that out, it seemed like a unique opportunity to RNIB to actually look at a way of making this accessible. And some really good collaboration took place with the manufacturers and some of the energy groups and energy suppliers. And there we were with an accessible in-home display. And what do we mean by that? Well, it has tactile buttons, so it's very easy to use. Secondly, it has a really clear display and a larger display, so it can be seen by those people who are still relying on their sight to view these things. And thirdly, it speaks, so it actually tells you what energy usage you have. Now, the biggest issue, once we designed it, was actually, first of all, convincing the energy companies this was a good idea. And to be frank, that wasn't difficult. What's more challenging is getting the message out to blind and partially sighted people about advocating for receiving one. And so that's the key focus at the moment. We have the solution, frankly, just at the time when it's never been more important to understand your energy usage. And I think the thing to say, Darren, is that, you know, we can't make energy cheaper. But what we can do is put people in control of their energy costs. I'm very surprised myself about the things I leave on around the house that, firstly, to Philippa's point, I may not even know I've left on. For example, I'm totally blind, so I may not know I've left a light on somewhere. I may not realize I've left something on standby rather than turning it off. And I don't really, without that data, I don't really have a perception of what different devices are costing me to run and when it might be most beneficial to run them. Putting yourself in control of this information, rather than getting a surprise in 3 to 6 months, either when you've had one estimated bill and you get your meter read and this shock coming through the post, you know, this puts people back in control of their usage and therefore back in control of their costs.
Absolutely. Philippa and Dave, to you both, I guess this one is, just kind of relating to this really, what would you advise is the process? How would somebody who's blind and partially sighted now, how can we actually request one? Is it just as simple as contacting the energy supplier? If so, do they all have this device? Does it matter? What actually happens once you've ordered one? I don't mind
Well, I've been through this process recently, so I'm very happy to comment on a specific experience, and then perhaps Philika can give us the wider answer in terms of. But I've been through a process historically where I was told that the supplier didn't provide this, and this is a couple of years ago. So I'd kind of not asked, but because I knew what was coming up and I knew the commitment, I went back to my supplier, actually through their web chat, and said who I was, and I'm a customer of theirs. And once we got through all that, I said, I would like an accessible in-home display. And they knew exactly what I was talking about. And they said, just let me find out, just let me get that one ordered for you. And then I got a message back saying, it's been ordered and it'll be with you in 2 weeks. So a very, very different experience to what happened a few years ago. And so my advice would be absolutely to contact your energy supplier directly. Through the superb work of Smart Energy GB, there's a real level of awareness. There's always the risk, of course, as in any large organization, that the individual at the end of the phone may need to go ask somebody about this, because it is quite a specific thing. But I would encourage people to advocate for themselves as strongly as possible when facing into that. But certainly my experience, which I was pleased about, was very, very positive indeed. But perhaps, Philippa, you could give a wider answer to that.
Really good to hear. Philippa, can I just come back to the installation side of things, just with two small points. So once you've actually requested an accessible in-home display device, what do you actually receive? How is it delivered? And how do you go about setting it up if it's something that just sort of arrives? Do you have to do anything special to actually get it working?
So your supplier will, their installers will install it for you. Right. So obviously they're replacing, like we said, both the meter and providing the in-home display. So don't worry, it's not, you know, one of those sort of mystical things you receive in the post and you think, oh my goodness, how do I put this together? So they will, replace your traditional meters, put the smart meters in, make sure that they're working with your accessible in-home display, and do a demo there for you. So really, installation is taken care of by your energy supplier.
I was asked when I contact my supplier for the original smart meter installation, did I have any accessibility requirements and that kind of thing, and did I need any specific evidence on the day about who the engineer was, and code words and things like that. And the other thing just to mention is I would encourage everybody listening to this podcast to get onto the priority register as well, because that means that they will understand your specific needs much more deeply, which makes these kind of conversations a bit easier to have.
So how do you actually do that?
Just contact the company and explain your blind or partially sighted, and they will put you on their priority register. So I'll give you an example that isn't electricity and gas, it's actually water. When there was a massive water outage in Harpenden, where I live, rather than me going to the pump to get water, as everyone else had to do in Harpenden, they brought the water to me, and I didn't have to do anything on that. It was just because I was on their priority list of customers with special requirements, they proactively went about and did that.
And I guess the final question from me really is there anybody who is not eligible to receive an accessible in-home display, and do you actually have to provide proof of your site condition or anything like that to receive one?
Well, they were designed, and obviously RNIB was heavily involved in their development and design for blind and partially sighted people, for people who have dexterity impairments and memory loss. They were the sort of key groups of users that they were designed for.
You certainly don't have to supply sort of written proof as you do for other types of benefits and other kind of, bus passes and train passes and all that kind of stuff. It's just
It's just your confirmation on the phone. And as David rightly flagged, you know, being on something like the priority services register means that your energy supplier already knows about any additional requirements you have. And there are sort of additional support and services that they'll make accessible to you. So we do know that some energy suppliers whose customers were on the priority services register and they knew were blind or had visual impairment, they have already proactively gone out to them. So, you know, it does help help the supplier know and make contact and would say, we think this product would be great for you. So, I think if in doubt, talk to your energy supplier and make that request.
That's wonderful. So all that remains for me to say is a very big thank you to Philippa Brown, David Clark, for all of your input on this and telling us all about accessible in-home smart displays. For more information, you can certainly check out the Smart Energy GB website at smartenergygb.org. And for now, that's all from us here on the Blind Spot podcast.
You've been listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust. If you'd like to find out more about what we do at TPT, check out our website. Go to www.pocklington-trust.org.uk. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Thank you for listening.